It is comforting to know that once I'm unemployed at the end of the year, that many fellow human beings living in America will have cash to loan me. Because, man, this just blew my mind. Cyber Monday sales hit a record $12.4 billion. That's a 10% jump from last year. Did I miss the memo? Does money actually grow on trees? Now, there was one ugly incident on Cyber Monday. Yeah, a woman pepper sprayed her own computer. Hey, if you were born on November 29, you share your B-Day with WWE Hall of Famer and the man who introduced me to SmackDown Live as its new play-by-play announcer in its return to the USA Network way back on January 7, 2016 in Laredo, Texas. I'm talking about Jerry the King Lawler. He is 74 today. He had a pro wrestling feud with one of my favorite comedians, Andy Kaufman. They had one of the most memorable segments in David Letterman's talk show career. And yesterday marked the 35th anniversary of the night that I channeled my inner Andy Kaufman when I wrestled Coconut Willie during my stint as a teenaged heel manager slash announcer for All Star Wrestling, the promotion that gave me my start in 1986 when I was 16. And yeah, if you're wondering, there is video evidence of the match. And if laughter is the best medicine, watching it is a full prescription. Just ask the Re-Kardashians. Hey, years ago, I was asked to provide commentary for another special match. Floyd Mayweather versus, wait for it, Warren Buffett. Yes, that Warren Buffett. But, okay, it wasn't a real match, obviously. I went into a studio and voiced a video for the annual Berkshire Hathaway meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. Got to work with filmmaker John Landis, the same John Landis who directed comedy classics like National Lampoon's Animal House, The Blues Brothers, Coming to America. He also directed Michael Jackson's music videos for Thriller and Black or White. Excuse me, I'm just going to reach down and pick up the name John Landis that I just dropped. Anyway, the reason I bring up this memory is because Buffett's right-hand man, Charlie Munger, who is the vice chairman of the investment group Berkshire Hathaway, well, he passed away peacefully on Tuesday at the age of 99. Munger, alongside Buffett, turned a little-known textiles firm into an $800 billion investment empire. It was his influence that pushed Buffett away from cigar butt deals, buying mediocre companies cheaply. Instead of, quote, buying fair businesses at wonderful prices, Buffett said, Munger taught him to buy, quote, wonderful businesses at fair prices. Munger was well known for his blunt homespun wisdom. I quote, it's so simple, he said, of making money. You spend less than you earn. Invest shrewdly and avoid toxic people and toxic activities, and try and keep learning all your life. Well, I tend to learn a lot from reading various newsletters. Here's the latest from the Hustle newsletter. You know how the second the Thanksgiving turkey is carved, Mariah Carey all of a sudden materializes at the top of the charts? Well, holiday decorations have the same way of creeping up well before the holidays themselves. And it's not just Christmas. Decor for everything from Halloween to Valentine's Day is hitting stores earlier and harder, per the Washington Post. The National Retail Federation forecasts holiday spending to reach a record $957.3 billion to $966.6 billion this year. That's a 3 to 4% increase from 2022. There are a couple of reasons behind the surge. Supply chain issues during COVID pushed many to order their decorations earlier than usual, and the cycle stuck. Holidays offer a much-needed respite from life's stressors. Plus, the earlier decorating is contagious, whether it's on your phone screen or in your neighbor's front yard. And speaking of social media, it plays a big role here. Almost as big as the 12-foot Halloween skeleton that went viral in 2022. This year, a $180 jack-o'-lantern named Lewis captured the hearts and wallets of consumers, racking up 56.2 million views on TikTok and selling out on Target's website. With oversized decorations has come the spending to match. American consumers dropped an estimated $12.2 billion and an average of $108 each on Halloween this year. That's a record high. And that holiday dedication will continue this winter. A 2023 survey found that shoppers are putting more money toward non-gift holiday purchases, with 82% saying they plan to spend on items like decorations. And this year's consumers are expected to spend an average of $1,650 on holiday-related purchases. That's up 14% from last year. I would say Charlie Munger is rolling over in his grave, but he isn't even buried yet. And I apologize, my fair lady, but to all of this, I have two words for you. Bah humbug. All right. Well, pals of the podcast like Slaylister, probably not happy with me after the bah humbug to the holiday spending, while she's busy building brave new worlds on Roblox, Sarah E. Needleman at the Wall Street Journal writes, the dollhouse hobby saw a surge in interest during the pandemic that has not stopped since, with the construction, decoration, and maintenance of models apparently being one of the COVID-era hobbies that is real staying power. For some, it's a creative outlet. For others, an opportunity to fantasize what it would have been like to be one of those millennials that got a 2.6% fixed-rate 30-year mortgage. But nevertheless, interest is up. On Etsy, which touts a 500,000 listings for dollhouses and accessories, searches for dollhouse kits are up 29% from a year ago, and searches for miniature furniture are up 22%. My bestie, the Bosnian Stone, Harris, you son of a bitch, his daughter, Ray of Sunshine, wonder if she's maintaining her dollhouse. I like to invest in the youth. Speaking of homes, an Australian man has converted his spare bedroom into a shrine to Barbie. His wife's bedroom is a shrine to Ken. No, not the doll, but a locksmith who came to fit a lock on her door. Meanwhile, it seems that a Barbie movie sequel might not happen anytime soon, if at all. But the film's director, Greta Gerwig, isn't completely ruling it out. I mean, at the moment, we are at zero, she told Entertainment Tonight on the Gotham Awards red carpet on Monday when asked if a sequel is in the works. The Oscar-nominated director went on to admit that she is tapped out at the moment, but stopped short of giving a hard no to a potential sequel. Life is long, she added. You never know. Margot Robbie, who produced the film and starred as the iconic Mattel doll, also weighed in on the buzz surrounding another Barbie movie, telling the Associated Press earlier this month that they, quote, put everything into this one. We didn't build it to be a trilogy or something, Robbie said, adding, Greta put everything into this movie, so I can't imagine what would be next. Barbie stars Robbie in the titular role alongside Ryan Gosling's Ken and follows Barbie as she works through an existential crisis in Barbie Land. It comes as no surprise that moviegoers far and wide would be excited at the prospect of an encore, given how massively successful the Barbie movie was when it premiered in July. The summer blockbuster raked in a remarkable $1.03 billion. A lot of billions on this podcast. Law of Attraction. Anyway, it made over $1 billion at the global box office within the first few weeks of its release, according to official Warner Brothers estimates, making Gerwig the first solo female director with a $1 billion movie. Hey, speaking of billionaires, billionaire Richard Branson's Virgin Atlantic Airlines successfully completed the first transatlantic flight using 100% sustainable jet fuel. The Boeing 787 flew from London to New York on a special blend of fats and sugars, a landmark for both the biofuel and aviation industries. There were no passengers on the flight, and sugars, huh? Remember when you used to pour sugar in a... Well, let's not go there. Don't want to incriminate myself. Sticking with modes of transportation, Royal Caribbean officially owns the world's largest cruise ship. How big is it? It's 1,200 feet long, 251 metric tons, and it took nearly 3 years to finish. The maiden voyage is set for January with 10,000 on board, including 2,350 crew members. My nephew Roberto went on a cruise to Alaska this past summer. I think I'll pass. Thanks, but no thanks. But I would love to cruise into some music news. Andre 3000's new Blue Sun debuted on the Billboard 200 Albums chart at number 34, and its opening song, almost as long as that cruise ship I just talked about, I swear I really wanted to make a rap album, but this is literally the way the wind blew me this time. It debuted at number 90 on the Billboard Hot 100. As Billboard and chart data note, the song, with a runtime of 12 minutes and 20 seconds, is the longest ever entrant on the chart. And it probably has the longest title in Billboard history, too. It dethrones Tool's 10-minute and 21-second Fear Inoculum, which debuted at number 93 in August 2019. For nearly 50 years, the longest song to top the Hot 100 was Don McLean's American Pie Parts 1 and 2, which runs 8 minutes and 37 seconds. That was until Taylor Swift came along and, she took over with a perfect 10. I asked Morlog researcher Willypedia to look up the longest song title. He came up with American folk artist Christine Lavin's, deep breath here, "Regretting What I Said to You When You Called Me at 11 o'clock on Friday morning to tell me that 1 o'clock Friday afternoon you were going to leave your office, go downstairs, hail a cab, to go out to the airport, to catch a plane, to go to skiing in the Alps for 2 weeks. Not that I wanted to go with you. I wasn't able to leave town. I'm not a very good skier. I couldn't expect you to pay my way, but after going out with you for 3 years, I don't like surprises. In parentheses, a musical apology." Let's do that one more time in case you missed it. The actual song title, 374 letters long, is "Regretting What I Said to You When You Called Me at 11 o'clock on Friday morning to tell me that 1 o'clock Friday afternoon you were going to leave your office, go downstairs, hail a cab, to go out to the airport, to catch a plane, to go skiing in the Alps for 2 weeks. Not that I wanted to go with you. I wasn't able to leave town. I'm not a very good skier. I couldn't expect you to pay my way, but after going out with you for 3 years, I don't like surprises. In parentheses, a musical apology." Again, 374 letters long, and in honor of the fictional band Spinal Tap, let's turn it up to 11. And hey, director Rob Reiner has recruited original cast members of This Is Spinal Tap for the forthcoming sequel. Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer will return to their roles and will be joined by musical icons Paul McCartney, Elton John, and Garth Brooks, according to Reiner. This Is Spinal Tap wasn't a hit when it first debuted, but it has become a cult classic, even landing in the National Film Registry in 2002. The sequel was originally set to be released in March 2024, but the dual Hollywood strikes have pushed that back. Filming is set to begin in February. I'm going to leave you with the keyboard warrior version of Garth Brooks' signature song, The Dance, the fourth and final single from his self-titled 1990 debut album. I'm looking forward to seeing Joaquin Phoenix portray Napoleon on the big screen. Today's more ovation comes from the French Emperor, Napoleon Bonaparte, who said, "Courage isn't having the strength to go on. It is going on when you don't have strength." Thanks for listening to The Moralogue. Now go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight.
Mamma mia, marijuana is the shit.